I'd like to acknowledge Australia's First Nation people as the traditional custodians of the land, and for this episode in particular, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. I pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Sometimes like one can be like a bit overwhelming or like, you know, unapproachable, like a bit snobby. And that's the opposite of what we want to do. It's like everyone should be like able to understand how we make wine, how we make rosé, how we make sparkling, and just having a good time where they are staying.
This is Over a Glass. I'm Shantae Whale. Pierre Toumanoff is one half of the duo that created Stay and Sip. With his partner, Mercedes Mendoza, they have rewired how you enjoy your wine experience in the Hunter Valley. He joins me today to tell me more. Hi, Pierre. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Shanti. Lovely being here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've had the wonderful experience of Stay and Sip. But before we get there, obviously you have a French accent. Where are you originally from?
Yes, it's very hard to hide it. I try sometimes, but no. I grew up in France, just in the south of Paris, 2 hours south in the Loire Valley, between Sancerre and Tours, just in the middle.
Oh, that's a beautiful area. So has wine always played a part in kind of your life, in your family's life? Were they big wine drinkers?
Yes. I didn't grow up in a family who owns vines or vineyards in France, but I've always been very interested about like this area, these regions, this industry. But I didn't study wine in France. I moved to Paris quite just after my HEC, so I grew up in the country. Beautiful youth there. And then I decided to follow more business. So I went to do a business school there. And from there, I just started like a corporate life. And I just changed at some stage my career and wanted to explore more like what I love to do, like sharing wine and making people happy.
And so is that what brought you to Australia, or were you traveling and kind of found yourself in Australia?
So, yes, I would say I grew up in the Loire. Then I went to Paris, studied there. I lived 5 years in Paris in the CBD there. And I just wanted to keep exploring. So, like, the first step for me was, like, in Champagne. One of my best friends took over his parents' vineyards. And I was just, like, helping him in the vineyard and doing a vintage there. And I just love it. Like, the morning I was in the vineyard, sorry, and just having this beautiful, like, you know, landscape. Afternoon in the winery, like playing around, and yeah, at night visiting beautiful restaurants. That was a perfect industry for me. But from there, my English was very, very poor, and I was a bit, you know, very French, let's call it like that. And I decided to go to South Africa. So my first stop was in South Africa to explore the wine. I was in Stellenbosch and then to Robertson in like a family friend's vineyard and Springfield Estates, and spent a couple of months there. Just loved it. Really helped me to improve my English first, but also, you know, connecting around the wine. I just discovered like how wine like connect people and like just help to, yeah, break the ice and share. Like, it's an international language for me. Like, the wine is definitely this beautiful international language. But from there, to come to Australia, I came to Australia just after my trip to South Africa. I arrived in Australia on the 1st of December 2019. So it was just during the bushfires. I don't know if you remember, it was, yeah, something quite quite impressive. So I arrived to Brisbane and drove down to Sydney in December 2019 and just fall in love with Newcastle. Never heard about Newcastle ever. And it's just, for me, you know, going to the beach, it was quite special in France. I grew up in the countryside. And I discovered like every day I could enjoy like this beautiful view and the ocean and walking around. And it was close to Sydney because I was living in Paris for 5 years. So I didn't want to be too remote. And also like check the box for like the wine, my passion and why I started to travel the world. So I was like, that sounds like the right place to establish myself. But in 2020, COVID happened. So all my plan changed a little bit. So I didn't know what was going to happen, but I got very, very lucky to be in Australia during COVID. I had a great, great time. And I really discovered like more the culture and the people in Australia, like really community-minded, like focused, here to help each other. And yeah, with many opportunities. If you work hard and you do like the right things with the right attitude, people really give you like a chance. So during COVID, I was in Newcastle and I've been help because my first job in the wine industry, my first introduction was at Tullock Wines, like the original vineyard in the Hunter Valley. So it's where I started to be introduced to the wine experience in Australia. And yeah, from there, because I was French, I had to play with my visa as well. So I had to do like my 6 months in farms. And I've been very lucky to be introduced to Andrew and Lisa Morgan. So I worked for them for 6 months. So where I did my farms and work in their vineyard Celador. But in the meantime, because I didn't study wine and I love my wine. And, you know, like when I spoke about wine, people trust me with my French accent, but I needed to study a bit more and to have like the knowledge, the competence behind it. So I decided to enroll in the WSET level 3, the Wine and Spirit Education Trust. It was run by Peter Hoare in the Hunter Valley at Mount Pleasant. And it was exactly on the 1st of December, 2020. So I came to Australia on the 1st of December, 2019. And on 1st of December, 2020, it was the first day of the WSET level 3. And it was still COVID time. So, you know, you had to write your name on the manifest. Mm-hmm. And I'm always on time, like just before. And someone was already there. And it was a beautiful lady. I was like, oh, hello. Like, you know, I just introduced myself. And I read on the manifest, it was Mercedes Mendoza. I was like, oh, you speak Spanish or what's your background? Anyway, we started to have a good chat and discovered she was managing another winery in Lovedale. And at this stage, I was still in Brook, working for like the Morgan family. And we started to hang out, drinking some nice wine together and learning, studying together. And now we just got engaged in July in August last year, and we're getting married in July this year in France. So, you know, wine can gather and make great meetings and change your life.
Wow. I mean, what a rapid change. I mean, just like you said, to arrive in the bushfires, to go through COVID in a new country, which is pretty scary. But like you said, you were probably in a good spot. If you're in the middle of Sydney, you know, you would have had a very different experience of what COVID was like, especially if you're in a small apartment probably with no balcony. And yet then you take on WSET and then you meet the love of your life and now you're engaged. Congratulations. I mean, that has been a lot in a very short period of time.
It's been a lot. Indeed. Indeed. Especially with COVID in the middle and all and my visa to manage and like always to keep learning as well. Like wine, there's so much to learn about, just about Australia and one region, but in the world, they've been all the grape varietals, all the techniques, and there's so much. So you never stop learning. And we just, from there, a really big part of like my experience in the wine was at Crinkerwood, like the biodynamic vineyard in Brook. So with Oscar Martin, the new owner, I jump in and I join him in this project. And I used to manage this place for two years. So that was an amazing experience to see how like the brand has been rebuilt and how many things are happening there. It was very innovative and very progressive on like the way to do experiences. So I learned a lot as well there. And we reached a stage with Mercedes where like she has been managing a few wineries like for many years in Hunter Valley. She's born and bred in Hunter Valley and just follow her passion as well for people and looking after, you know, making experience great. And we decided together as a side hustle to create Stay and Sip. So it was in 2021. We were still both full time working like crazy hours because we were in charge and, you know, managing. So we had like big weeks. And on top of that, at night, we're just going back and building like extensive, like all the website, all the brands. Mercedes is very talented in this and she did everything by herself. I helped a little bit behind, but she really did the hard work. And yes, we started slowly and we have been very, very lucky. Then the Hunter Valley is this amazing community. Where everyone helped each other. And like we had some friends and family like started to book us, you know, when they had like some friends coming over. And yeah, it's how we started.
Incredible. Now I kind of want to read your introduction to be like, Pierre doesn't mess around. Pierre is a man that makes things happen.
Wait for it. There's more happening then. Like since then, we didn't stop. Like we work very hard, but we do what we love. So never feel like a working day for us. Like we genuinely like live our best life. Like we just do what we love. So it's fantastic.
So tell me the premise of Stay and Sip.
So Stay and Sip, Mercedes used to manage this one where they were coming like big buses and like large groups and like, you know, coming for like yeah, all the wine tours operators coming to see her, and she started to create like really smart like experiences. It was like cheese and wine tasting, chocolate and wine tasting, but even like cocktail where she was blending spirit and wine. She always been very, very smart and like in advance of creating not just a wine tasting, you taste wine, you buy wine and you leave, but more like something different when people get an experience. And we did the same at Krinkerwood, where we are like doing tasting in small bottles, like individual tastings, and everything linked us to start like Stay and Sip, where we thought, you know what, people sometimes don't want like to be in this big bus to go around, and drink and driving was like quite an issue as well. Sometimes we're seeing people, you know, like we said, oh, I'm not sure you should take the car, so we are like calling a taxi or a thing like that. And also the Hunter Valley has so many beautiful accommodation and stunning properties with view on the vines, and it's not cheap. So we thought like people would like maybe spend more time where they're staying. So and after, one of the main thing as well is after 6 p.m., everything, or even 5 p.m., everything is closed in the Hunter Valley. Mm. So you have the choice between a beautiful restaurant or a beautiful restaurant, or a caterer as well can come to you. But the options were quite limited. So the idea behind Stay and Sip was to bring the wine experience directly to the guest accommodation where they're staying. And everyone's saying, oh, you know, like Pierre is a Frenchman and you are going to get all the bachelorette parties and like all the hens party. And I was like, okay, you know, if I have to start there, like there's no issue there. He was as well to drink wine and to have a great time. But turn out corporates has been our biggest market, like all the bank insurance coming for like conference in the Hunter Valley and, you know, working hard from 10 to 5, coming to the oldest wine region in Australia. And at 5 p.m., everything was closed. And they just didn't want to taste, you know, wine from one specific winery and like buying wine. It was more like having an experience around wine. And it's where we went in. So we started with a private wine tasting. So that's just an experience. We come and we bring 7 wines. Also, without changing too quickly the subject, but all our wine are made and grown in the Hunter Valley. That's very important. And we have the exclusivity on the wine. So if people decide to do a Stay and Sip, they will taste wine they cannot get anywhere else. So not in bottle shop, not in cellador, or not in restaurant. We use brand from the Hunter Valley that you can see like on the side of the roads, but we have like back vintage or specific wine that you cannot get access. And so yes, that's the part of the wine. We started with a private wine tasting, and then we went on a fun wine tasting, like more a team building experience. So for example, we do like a bingo or like a categories. It's just create a bit something different, you know. People still taste wine, enjoy, ask question, because it's one host for the group. Usually when we do tasting in cellars, you know, you look after 2, 3, 4 tables at the same time. Then when we come to them, we are just focused about them. And it's very educational, but in our own style, Stay and Sip is really about like having a good time. It has to be fun, but without like forgetting like the educational part. So and making approachable. Sometimes like one can be like a bit overwhelming or like, you know, unapproachable, like a bit snobby. And that's the opposite of what we want to do. It's like everyone should be like able to understand how we make wine, how we make rosé, how we make sparkling, and just having a good time where they are staying.
Oh, I think the business model is absolutely genius. And what I think is fantastic is the way that you have really tailored it to suit the community that you're in as well. I mean, first off, when I first heard about your business, I just asked so many questions. I was like, well, you know, what about the hotels and their own licenses? Are you going to take away business from them? Are they going to invite you in? And then you explained to me, no, you know, they still we don't provide dinner. They're still eating at the hotel restaurants, what we're doing is providing just a different wine experience. And what was the kind of reception when you first went out with this business? What was, you know, when you approached the hotels and you approached other accommodation, what was their reception to your idea?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So basically, like, the hotels, like, and the resort saw us like as an added value, like, how can we keep our guests on site? Like, booking like a bus costs lots of money. You don't want to put your CEO, CFO like in a bus and like driving all around like the region, and it has to be convenient because they are really time poor. They don't have the time to go around, but they still want to taste wine from the Hunter Valley. And so with a license, we have a liquor license, of course, but it's just a tasting. Like, we do like the 30 mil pour, even less. But, you know, it's like just on this tasting part. And that was for the hotel. So they were very happy. It's an hour and a half. Like, the guests finish the conference, they have the tasting with us, and then they have dinner on site. So it was good for them as well. And for the accommodation providers, it was like just, you know, an added value for like their place. Like, hey, if you stay in our beautiful accommodation, you can have a caterer coming to cook like dinner for you. And before that, you can have like a beautiful experience when the kids are like in the pool or running around. So, you know, if you have a big group, it's more like the value is there. Like, it's cheaper than to do a wine tour most of the time. So, yes, that's what's how it worked. Also, that's maybe like the good opportunity to mention that we are stay and sip. We are not stay and wine. So that means even if you don't drink wine, and from the beginning, especially with corporates, we have a non-alcoholic option. We do shrubs. So it's a kind of a mocktail, a sophisticated mocktail, where you taste as well 7 of them, like in a really, very educational way. So if you don't drink alcohol or wine, you are not excluded from the experience. We really want to be inclusive as much as possible for all dietary requirements and all of that. So, yes.
So clever. I mean, I just think about all the, like you said, all the trips I've been on where I've, you know, have stayed in an incredible hotel room that I never see any part of it because I dump my bags and I sleep and then I'm off again. And also all the incredible spaces you can do these things at in terms of, you know, maybe in the restaurant on the large table or sitting, I think, you know, Peppers or somewhere like that, where you can kind of sit outside around a campfire and kind of have, you know, a small intimate setting and have you come over. It's just so tailored depending on what the guest wants and, you know, what kind of experience they're after. And you being so flexible and Mercedes to really listen to what they want to get out of the experience, I think it just is, it all makes sense to me. And that's what makes me excited is that every time you brought up something new, it said, yes, this is built for success. And particularly in terms of the way that you are getting wines from local Hunter wineries and also wines that they can't purchase. So special edition wines or back vintage, like you said, is so smart. My question about your liquor license is, in terms of if they do, a group does stay and see it, they've really enjoyed it, then you want to purchase wine afterwards, do they go through you to do that, or are they not allowed to buy a wine? Do they make purchase it through the winery in that instance?
No, and so we try to make it convenient. So that's the goal. We stay and sip, like our main word, like mantra is like to make it convenient for the guests where they're staying. And we work every day, so any day of the week, but at any time as well. Like, we start the tasting from 10 a.m. and we can do it at 8 p.m., you know, when you put the kids in bed, etc. But also goes with the wine delivery. So if they enjoyed the experience and they like the wine, they can purchase it with us. So we take the payment. We have like RSA and, you know, as I said, liquor license, liability insurance and all of that. But we deliver the wine the next day. So we deliver the wine directly to the accommodation. So they don't have to go anywhere else.
So bizarre.
So they just stay. So we come at 7 p.m., for example. There are like 10 of them. We bring always like some local cheese from Binori Dairy in Lovedale. So we would have a little bit of brie with some honeycomb. We do some herb fromage, a few crackers. And for every guest, always to bring some food, of course, water as well. And we go like through the experience of 7 wines. If like they got like the fun wine tasting, we do the game. If we have like a gourmet, they have different cheeses and chocolate as well. We enjoy it. Also, we bring everything with us. And when you are talking about why the hotel liked us, because they have nothing to provide outside of a chair and table space. We bring everything with us. So from the wine glasses, from the table decoration, through like the small plates and like individual gourmet plates. So it's like very seamless for the guests, but also for the venue. And yeah, so we started to make it like people just enjoy, sit, relax, do the experience. If they like the wine, they can buy it. But also the difference, they already pay us up front because there's a tasting fee where like if they don't buy wine, we're not out of pocket. And the guests don't feel the pressure to buy in the end. They just buy if they like it. And if they like it, we take the payment and the next day we go to pack the wine, etc., put the name on it and deliver it directly to the accommodation. And if the accommodation is too far from Pokolbin, we charge a travel fee. Like we travel anywhere in New South Wales. Like we do a lot in Newcastle now, like Central Coast. We just started to grow as well in Sydney. Our business is mainly in the Hunter Valley, but we are able to travel anywhere like Bowral and Mudgee, Orange. And if it's too far to go back the next day to drop the wine, we just ship it. We just ship the wine to the accommodation and yeah, they receive this beautiful wine.
This is really a recipe for something that could go completely, you know, all throughout Australia. In terms of if you perhaps, since you said Bowral, or if you went to the Southern Highlands, could you tailor that experience with wines from those regions rather than the Hunter Valley?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what's happened with Mercedes, so we started Stensip now like 3 years ago. And last year, in April, I left my full-time job to be focused full-time on Stensip. And quickly after that, we won the Best Tourism Operator of the Year in the Hunter Valley at the Hunter Valley Legends Awards. That's been a very big push for us. And Mercedes stopped her job as well in July to focus on Stensip. So we're both full-time on this business now. And by having Stensip, we started like to be more like in this entrepreneurial like mindset. And we started to diversify our portfolio of business. So we have Stensip, our main business, but we also have Thirsty Merchy. So we do like merchandising for the Hunter Valley, not branded for any vineyard or any like business, but just about Australia and Hunter Valley. We do posters, tote bags, different products coming up as well. So that's our second business. And we also just got the contract for Seguin Moreau. So like oak barrels from France. So by having this contract, we have to travel in Mudgee, Orange, Southern Islands to meet all the winemakers to discuss their needs in oak products. But by the same, by this way, we have the opportunity to meet the winemakers with all these amazing wines and so to get access to this wine. And that's the hardest part. Like people see us doing the experience, oh, it looks beautiful and, you know, it's great, we have a great time. But 50% of the job of the work is like to find the wines. And that's very hard to grade, like to get back vintage wine, great wines from the region. So it's absolutely possible to do it from with barrel wine, like Southern Islands or from Orange wine or Mudgee. It's more like the concept we try to bring with Stensip. And yes, we would love to grow through Australia, but we need to do it like step by step. We really want to do it well, to have like all the process in place in the Hunter Valley. And then to be able to grow around.
Well, it really is. I mean, I would say to anybody, don't get in the way of Pierre and Mercedes because they're about to take over the world with their businesses. But you have really thought about everything. And, you know, it is an amazing experience. I have lots of girlfriends and work colleagues that go to the Hunter Valley. And it's my first recommendation is, yeah, you might be going to a few wineries, but why don't you think about this? Even if it's just, I've got a few friends that just go up each year with a couple of their other couple friends, leave the kids behind. It's just such a great idea, like you said, to enjoy your accommodation, to have an experience, but to have it tailored to you. It's something different. And I completely am on board. And I think that your business is only going to continue to grow.
is complementary with the other business in the Hunter Valley because we are a region. We are here like as a destination. It's not just Stensip or this winery or like this accommodation. We have to work together to bring like the guests like new experiences. And if they have been to the Hunter Valley, say, come back. There's more things to explore. There's more places to enjoy. People are not going to come and do just one Stensip experience as they want to come and do one wine tasting. They will come to look for like more experiences around. And it's how we can work all together. You know, like you go the morning, have a long breakfast, then you do a couple of wine tasting in the afternoon, you come back, you relax, and we can come at 6 p.m. before like the caterer coming to cook a beautiful dinner for you. That's what we try to do. But also one thing really interesting, it's we do for couples. So even if you're only two and you come for, you know, like proposal or like anniversary and you just want a private wine experience where you are, we develop a sensorial wine tasting where we focus more on the senses. So we have like a big chart with all the colors of the wine following the grape varietals, and it's educational. It's not a masterclass. We really make it approachable. But, you know, you just learn to discover, okay, if I just watch the color of the wine, I can get an idea of like which grape variety it can be. And then, you know, always like you smell the wine and you see all these people like, oh, I get like lemon curd and like chamomile and all of that. And people say, I just smell like white wine. And we try to guide them through that, say, okay, let's break it down. And we have like Le Nez du Vin. It's a beautiful coffret with like 54 like pure essences. Then they used to make perfume in France. And basically you can get like the lemon, like the pure essence of lemon, and you smell new Semillon after that, said, oh, now I start to get it. So we guide like couples in smaller group through like this sensorial wine experience where we do like pairing with cheese and chocolate as well. But we do tasting up to like 100, 150. So when you have big conference delegates coming, we can come and do a sit down or we can do a stand up as well. The goal with Mercedes is like we always will find like a solution to make it happen. We'll bespoke it, we will tailor it, but we'll make it happen. And with our standards. So it has to be beautiful and has to be educational and everyone has to have a great time. It's what we try as well. One of our focus since we started is to get like real feedback from real guests and people having done our experiences. And every time we finish the experience, we ask them if they're happy to take a couple of seconds to leave us a review and with pictures. And we grew up like our Google reviews like that. So we just reached like 450 Google reviews for us. So it's very exciting for us. We work very hard for that. And hopefully give the confidence to the people to book us because, you know, like we come to you, we come in your privacy to your accommodation. So you need to trust the business doing it. And I feel like we just started to reach this point of like people say, hey, Stensip become like as a normal experience, like as a caterer coming to cook for us. Like we can get this amazing wine experience coming to us directly as well.
It's so clever. And like I said, I've got nothing but great things to say. If you want to find out more, you can go to stayandsip, stayandsip.com.au to find out more. But I'd like to know, what was your impression of Australian wine when you first came to Australia? What did you expect you were going to like, or what did you discover when you first started tasting wine in Australia?
I feel there's two main points, because everyone asks me that, oh, what do you think about French wine compared to Australian? I really believe that Australian wine in general and across Australia is more educational. So what I mean by that, it's like if you like your Chardonnay or if you like your Cabernet Sauvignon, you just buy a bottle of wine in a bottle shop or in a cellador and you know what you drink. It's written on the label most of the time. And that was great because when I started to enjoy my wine in France, it was very hard when, you know, when you don't work in the wine industry and when you don't have much exposure to the wine outside of just like drinking a couple of glasses, you know, on Friday and Saturday to learn what you drink. Then in Australia, if you know you like Sauvignon Blanc, you know exactly it's written on the bottle. Then in France, we call it by the region. So if you like your Burgundy wine, you need to know like it's Chardonnay. And, you know, Loire Valley can be a bit confusing as well with Chenin Blanc and other small grape varietals. So that's my first point, more educational. And how I describe the wine industry in Australia, it's a bit like the hidden gem in the world because everyone describes, you know, French wine, it's amazing. It's like so premium, so fancy. It's like, it's true. We have like all the premier cru, grand cru, amazing champagne in Australia because they export the best of the best around the world. And if you go to France, their wine industry is not very well developed like us around experiences. They don't need to. They just send all their expensive wine around the world and everyone rush to buy them. Then in Australia, we drink the best of the best in Australia. We don't have to export them. We have the market here. But what we export is like the cheapest wine. So people will associate like Australian wine to the wine they find like in airport, like for two bottles for $20. And say, oh yeah, it's not great. It doesn't taste great. Yes, because the best of the best are getting drunk in Australia and collected in Australia. So it's really the opposite of France, where the best are going overseas when the best of Australia stay in Australia.
Mm. Yeah, must be so interesting to come from, you know, a place like us, like where you come from, and to just to appreciate the differences, because there's benefits to, I suppose, both way of operating. But I'm glad that you love Australian wine, and it's so wonderful. And I can't even imagine that Hunter Valley, when you fell in love in Newcastle, they must have been so thrilled when you decided to kind of make that your home and then stay in the Hunter, because you've really added so much value to the region. I would like to know, to find out a little bit about your personal palate. If you could only drink three drinks for the rest of your life, what would they be and why?
Well, definitely with Mercedes, we love our aged Semillon. Aged Semillon is just like something just unique. Like, we are the only region in the world to be famous for Semillon as a region. And it's patience. Like, there's only one thing you can buy in life is time. And like, having aged Semillon like has no equivalent. So definitely aged Semillon. Chardonnay, we are big Chardonnay drinkers. Such a large range of Chardonnay. So definitely this one. Red wines, unfortunately, like, I don't drink much red wines as much as I love it, because Mercedes, don't drink a lot of reds. But that's interesting. I was very interested about like Sangiovese recently. Like, I really enjoy like the body, like very close to like a Pinot Noir, but you get aged Sangiovese was really surprising for me. So yeah, this kind of wine, Pinot Noir Sangiovese, something quite light but aged again. I just really enjoy like aged wine when you get this opportunity to get like more complexity, this tertiary, like it's quite unique. So yeah, Semillon definitely first. If I had only one, that would be aged Semillon for the rest of my life. Then some Chardonnay and some lighter like Pinot Noir or Sangiovese wine.
Excellent choices, and you have drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm so thrilled to hear that you love aged Semillon. We can definitely be lifelong friends. and I completely agree with you, such a special wine. But Pierre, it's been so fantastic having you on the podcast. I really appreciate it. I love your business. I wish you the very best in it, and I hope that our paths cross again and we get to have a glass of wine together, that aged Semillon, maybe in the Hunter sometime.
We would love that. Anytime, please. Reach out.
Thanks to you, Pierre. Cheers to you.
Thank you, Shanti. Bye.
This is Over a Glass. I'm Shante Whale. Stay tuned for more stories from the world of wine and drinks. Listen in every Thursday on your podcast app. Follow us on Instagram at Over a Glass Pod and contact us at overaglass@deepintheweeds.com.au.